Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Today on Register Radio, the entire show will be devoted to coverage of last week's assembly of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. You may have heard about this in the news. Tim Drake will talk with Ann Carey, who covered the gathering for the National Catholic Register. She'll provide an overview of exactly what the gathering was all about this time, and also the LCWR's response to the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith's doctrinal assessment calling for reform of the conference. Also, EWTN's Father Mitch Pacwa is on hand to talk about the gathering's keynote speaker, Barbara Marks Hubbard, and also the dangers of the New Age movement. Welcome again to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Tim Drake, senior writer for the Register. Hello, Tim.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
It is indeed a pleasure to be doing this program. And Tim, we're going to open up the show with Father Mitch, who, of course, is heard every week on EWTN Radio's Open Line Wednesday. Father is an expert on all things New Age. We're very glad to have him with us to provide some perspective on exactly where the LCWR is coming from these days.
That's right, Tom. And thanks for being with us on Register Radio today, Father Mitch.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So previously, we've covered the LCWR in the National Catholic Register, and listeners can certainly read about it at the Register's website. But I think what's been kept undercover somewhat is who is Barbara Marks Hubbard. She was invited to give the keynote address to the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. She operates the Foundation for Conscious Evolution, an organization devoted to New Age spirituality and training. And she was actually, believe it or not, a 1984 Democratic nominee for vice president. Father Mitch, I was wondering if you could perhaps shed a little light about who she is and why it's such an outrage that she would be brought to any Catholic event as if she had something of substance to offer.
In fact, I do think she has something of substance to offer, but it is not consistent with Catholic substance. And that's a very important distinction. Barbara Marks Hubbard was born to a dad who made toys and did very well at toys. So she grew up in an affluent background. She studied at the Sorbonne and at Bryn Mawr. So she had a good education. She considers one of the most important events of her life when she was a small girl that the dropping of the bomb at Hiroshima and Nagasaki to end World War II meant that human beings can now end the world. And as she studied, she became what's known as a futurist, along with an engineer like Buckminster Fuller, who took a very different tack than she. He focused on engineering. She began to focus on various aspects of consciousness raising. And she, in the 1970s, she began to focus on spiritual change and enlightenment. She herself describes that she has a hierarchy of voices that speak to her. One is her rational consciousness. Another is her own higher intelligence. And then above that is what she calls the Christ voice, who speaks to her. She had read the New Testament, and she felt an electrifying Christ voice that spoke as our potential self. That's a quote from her, and that it's the future human. So that for her, the Christ is a state of consciousness that is the future. And she describes herself as, I quote, most in contact with my own Christ self, the inner knowing, the indwelling divine. And with that as a spirituality, she then went forward to, she also, by the way, read Teilhard de Chardin, who was a Jesuit priest that died in 1955. His books were translated into English during the 1960s, and he was trying to combine the theories of evolution of the universe and the world with Christian faith. That was his goal. She read Teilhard through the lens of believing in her own Christ self, and that everybody has a potential Christ self. And she therefore believed that she took Teilhard's idea that Jesus Christ is the one drawing the world toward evolution. That was, Teilhard described it as a gravitational force toward Christ, toward Jesus Christ, as the omega point of all history. But she understands it in a more New Age way of everybody has the Christ self, and that we are all evolving into this new age. And she uses a number of the popular New Age ideas. For instance, it's very common to believe that the Earth is evolving out of the age of Pisces when people worshipped Jesus Christ. And by the way, she makes it very explicit. Human beings are not meant to simply listen to God and obey God anymore. As she said at the LCWR meeting, she talks about being co-creators. God works with us, not telling us what to do, but we are developing this Christ consciousness as a human race, and we are the ones who make the world move toward Armageddon, or if we listen to her, then we will make the world move toward a new age. And she talks even in the New Age ways about a shift of the axis of the earth, an idea that was popular with people like Edgar Cayce and so on, sort of based on some astrological beliefs that the axis of the earth is going to point toward the age of Aquarius and things like that. It's more than I want to go into in detail. You can read my book, sure, Catholics in the New Age, to get more background on that. But for her, it was more important to develop your own idea. So as an example, she puts a lot of stock in a book called A Course in Miracles, which was allegedly channeled by Helen Schuchman, and Jesus wrote a new book that, you know, makes, because the apostles didn't understand him, so she's correcting what the apostles misunderstood. And the Course in Miracles is a new gospel, in effect. And so she likes that. She writes her own journals. She financed a book by Roger Ware talking about Jesus' life in the city of Alexandria, Egypt, and the early life of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, things like that. So what she has is a very different Christ than what we have in the Gospels, what we have in sacred tradition, or what the Magisterium is teaching. And while it's a Christ who is creating a whole new world, it is a world of futurists in which we'll have fewer children, we'll save the planet by not overpopulating, and things like that. Now, I describe that because her Christ is an alternative to what the Catholic Church teaches. She considers us to be closed-minded, and that eventually, she says, don't worry about the closed-minded people. Her approach is ignore them, and they'll simply go away. And instead, push this evolution of consciousness and evolution of the world in the direction of we would call it secular liberalism, but she considers it to be the wave of her Christ consciousness and the voice voices that speak to her. And so for her to address the sisters, when the Vatican is trying to come in and say, we must draw you sisters back to the faith and the discipline and life of the church. Because, you know, if I could just add my own two cents on that, their approach has been in a New Age direction for some decades. And as they follow that, they don't gain any vocations. I'll bet that there are not 2% of the LCWR who is under 50. And certainly their median age at 74 indicates that they're not growing and they're not life-giving. And they truly seek her as giving a vision of a life-giving future. But the Pope and the rest of the church is saying, no, Jesus Christ, the authentic Jesus Christ of the Gospels, and not the false Jesus Christ of A Course in Miracles or any other voices that are speaking to you of a false Christ that St. Paul warns us about, by the way. I'd always like to remind our listeners, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, St. Paul warns us that there are other Christs, other spirits, and other gospels, and you don't follow them. We are seeing that the LCWR has to make a decision to follow the true Christ of the gospels versus the false Christ. This false Christ is attractive because it seems new and open to a future. But the Christ of the Gospels is also leading us into the future, but in complete union with the past. The false Christ wants to have a break with the Christ of the Gospels for this new Christ. And the Christ of the Gospels keeps this integrity of our whole history, and he will truly move us forward into the future that is his and guided by him. That's the alternative that I see by having Barbara Marx Hubbard and Archbishop Sartain as two alternative proclaimers of different Christs.
You know, Father Mitch, we have a little clip here from an interview that Barbara Marx Hubbard gave recently. We're going to listen to that, and then Tim's going to come back with a question.
Sure.
It's more like Gene Roddenberry in Star Trek. You know, beam me up, Scotty. That's probably true. That consciousness can materialize and dematerialize bodies. And so I made what I call a metaphysical choice. I would like continuity of consciousness. I do not want to die and forget. I don't want to die and go to a static heaven. I don't want to die and be reborn. And I don't want to just turn to dust.
Wow, there it is. Okay, Tim, your question for Father Mitch then.
Yeah, I think as we listen to some of Barbara Marx Hubbard's terminology, you know, she's using language. She talks about seeing with evolutionary eyes. She says she does not plan to go to a static heaven. She also speaks of Akasha, some kind of... My question is, this seems a pretty wide departure from Catholic Christianity.
Totally. That's exactly my point. That's why I'm saying to have her there is to show that there are two different Christs. One is a false Christ from the New Age movement that itself is fading away. I mean, the New Age movement is, you know, dying. It doesn't have the vitality it had some years ago because it is so inherently boring. It is something that people are not attracted to. And in fact, the secular models that we see so often are more attractive than the New Age models because they are so spacey. And then you see this other alternative of the Christ of the Gospels, who has brought the church through the centuries, you know, to where we are today, and a church which recognizes human beings are sinners, but God redeems them. And we will constantly be in need of redemption. That's the alternative that we are going to offer people.
Well, Father Mitch, we just want to thank you for being with us today on Register Radio.
Sure.
Thank you so much. And when we return, Ann Carey is here. She's going to give us an overview of the entire LCWR assembly, and it should be fascinating. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other, and our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
If it's happening at the Vatican, the United States, or anywhere else in the world, look to EWTN News for live coverage of landmark events in the life of the Church. From today's headlines to compelling interviews with Catholic newsmakers, EWTN News, only on the Global Catholic Network.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And we welcome you back along with Tim Drake. I'm Tom Price. Tim, Ann Carey has been following this very interesting story in all of its nuances for some time now. Most recently here on Register Radio, documenting that so-called Nuns on the Bus tour.
That's right. Ann is a veteran journalist and the award-winning author of Sisters in Crisis, The Tragic Unraveling of Women's Religious Communities. She covered the LCWR assembly for the National Catholic Register, and we're happy to have you with us, Ann, on Register Radio.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Just a quick question. You listened to the keynote by Barbara Marks Hubbard. Were you able to make heads or tails of what she was saying?
No. but Father Mitch certainly made it clearer to me in his description. I was not familiar with the New Age terminology at all. And I did understand, he mentioned the atom bomb being dropped in 1945. She actually told us about that and said she was 15 at the time, and it affected her profoundly, which of course it would. And she kind of, she was not quite as radical in what she said to the sisters as in that clip that you played. But I think the sisters could resonate with her point in that she wanted there to be peace in the world and to use technology for good rather than for evil. And she played up on that quite a bit. But then she also, as Father Mitch mentioned, she kind of, cherry-picked from Catholic faith here and there and from the New Testament. And at one point, I thought I had misunderstood her, but after hearing Father Mitch, I think I understood it correctly. She said that after reading the New Testament, she realized that if we were to use this higher way of thinking, I think Father called it the higher intelligence, that we too would eventually be like Christ and maybe even performing miracles. And I thought, well, maybe I had not understood that. But I see now that's probably what she did say. So, sure. Yeah, she was pretty far out there. And I'm not, I'm not really sure the sisters resonated with some of that other stuff, too, but I did resonate with her hope that we could live in peace and we could assist one another in the world. You know, she talked about being more of a global civilization, and that sort of thing was appealing.
Sure. In your reporting on the gathering for the Register, you described the elephant in the room as how the LCWR would choose to respond to the doctrinal assessment issued by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith and the call for reform, and placing it under the review of Seattle Archbishop Peter Sartain. And I'm just wondering, what was the outcome? What was their response?
Well, the final response was that the sisters would continue to dialogue, is the way they put it. That's a very big word for them. It was interesting. We journalists, we had a press room set aside for us where we could do our work and file our stories. And so we would sort of chat with each other in between sessions. And we'd come out of one session and say, wow, you know, we think that they're actually going to say, you know, no to the Vatican. And then we come out of another session and say, well, you know, they seemed a little more, you know, open to, you know, the reform. So we were kind of back and forth. But by Friday morning, they were to announce their decision in the afternoon. And of course, we were not allowed into any of their business meetings or their executive sessions where they debated this. But by Friday morning, we were all convinced that they would take this method of the dialogue. And I know Sister Pat Farrell, the president of LCWR, had hinted at this before on a radio interview back in July when she said, well, they could certainly conform. They could decide not to conform and just go there on their own as a secular organization. Or she was looking for what she called a third way. Now, they have been dialoguing with the Vatican for 4 years now, and so when they announced in the press conference that they were going to continue the dialogue, I asked the question of, well, how do you expect dialogue now to be different than what you have had in the past with the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith for 4 years? And Sister Pat Farrell, the president, said they had not been dialoguing extensively yet with Archbishop Sartain, that would soon be starting, and so they would approach it from that angle. So it wasn't really surprising to us by the time we came to the end that they would try to continue to speak. I think that that's sort of been an MO of theirs, the way they've operated for years. When there is a controversial issue, I think they feel if they can keep the other side talking, then one never has to come to a conclusion. But Cardinal Levada, also, I think in an interview in July, mentioned that dialogue is not an end, that it's a means to an end. And so it'll be interesting to see how long Archbishop Sartain will entertain dialogue.
Yeah, and just a quick question from me. Do you see a parallel here with the Society of St. Pius X wanting to continue dialoguing and dialoguing and dialoguing?
Well, it certainly seems like the same method.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, The LCWR president said the LCR would continue discussions with Archbishop Sartain as long as possible, but will reconsider if the LCWR is forced to compromise the integrity of its mission. But what does the LCWR perceive its mission to be? Is it the same mission that the organization had when the Vatican approved its statutes?
No, it's drastically different. In fact, someone asked me, you know, what is their mission? And so that took me back to the presidential address that Sister Pat had given at the conference there. And she said that their mission is, quote, to give ourselves away in love, particularly to those in greatest need, unquote. And I got to thinking about that, and I looked back at my book that I had written about the when the leadership conference was first organized, and that was back like in 1956 or something. And it's the contrast is stark because originally their purpose was to promote the spiritual welfare of women religious in the United States, to ensure their efficacy and their apostolate, to effect closer cooperation with religious in the United States, with the hierarchy, the clergy, and to properly represent them to constituted authorities. So it's just a stark change from when they started in 56.
Yeah, and I mean, given the whole idea of closer cooperation with the hierarchy, it does seem at least some of the members have kind of rejected obedience towards a hierarchical authority, including the Holy Father. And so the natural question that follows is, you know, where does the LCWR derive its authority from? I mean, the Vatican itself founded the group, right?
Exactly. The Vatican founded it, and it gave it canonical status. And I think some people are confused about this. The Vatican can decide whether or not an organization that has canonical status, whether or not it retains that status. It's, you know, it's official recognition. The LCWR seems to think that they have their own authority because they are the ones who have been living the life. And they speak openly about having created a new form of religious life. But, you know, traditionally in the church, the hierarchy has certain qualifications for you calling yourselves a religious order. I mean, I've often joked that I'm going to found a new order called the Real Good People, because some sisters seem to speak in terms of, well, I'm doing such good work, you know. But that's not just what the Vatican expects of a religious order. There are certainly faithfulness to the church and close ties to the hierarchy and an embrace of the faith are very crucial. But the LCWR members seem to think that they can rewrite the definition and that they still can consider themselves to be religious orders.
Well, Anne, I want to thank you so much for shedding light on this for us and being with us today on Register Radio.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us for this very special edition of the Register Radio program. Don't forget, you can listen again by going to ncregister.com. Just look for the microphone picture to listen or download the show. And Tim, thank you so much for all of your hard work on this. I know this is a very important program.
Yes, thank you, Tom.
Thank you for joining us on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.